All right, my check 1, 2. Happy New Year, everybody. We officially are in 2023. Welcome to another episode of We Need to Talk. Nyla Simone here, your favorite host, doing the most on the microphone. Nyla Simone here, man. I'm super excited for 2023. Is a lot of good things in store. It just feels like a great year is ahead of us. 2022 was a good year. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. But I'm just here to provide the vibes, man. Good vibes, good music, good storytelling. Put you guys on to some pretty interesting people. Now, before I get into this week's interview, which happens to be a group called Cruza that's straight out of California. They're super, super dope. It's two guys and one girl. And I actually ran into them at Afropunk this year. They performed in Brooklyn and, you know, they bodied super dope, and I had never heard of them at Afropunk, but that day I saw them perform and I instantly became a fan. So I'm super excited to get into the interview that I did with them and a few. But before we get into that, I have to tell you guys about my trip to Ghana, man. I brought in the New Year's in Africa, and it was a hell of an experience. It wasn't my first time going to Africa. I had been to Morocco back in college when I studied abroad, and you know, it was completely different. You know, not to say that Morocco is not Africa, but you know, they a little lighter in Morocco. You know, they look more like French Montana. And also, like, the culture there, which is way more, how I should say, way more like strict. But nonetheless, fast forward, what is it, I went to Morocco in 2015, so fast forward 8 years later, baby, I'm here. You know, I went to Ghana and it was super dope. It was just a great experience from start to finish. I mean, even as soon as I hopped off the plane, maybe because it was like a 9-hour plane ride, but I'm like, oh, the air just smells better here. But no, for real, the fresh air, it was just great. The greenery, you know what I mean, like the trees, the plants, just a lot of beauty in the city. What else? And like, it's hot, but it's not like Florida hot. It's not like, well, I guess during this time of year, December, when I went over there, it wasn't like Florida hot, where it's like humid, where your skin is sticking and it's just hot and you want to shower 3 times a day. It didn't feel like that. It just felt nice. Like, I could literally sit outside and sleep outside if I really, really wanted to, you know what I mean? Minus the mosquitoes. But I don't know why. For some reasons, mosquitoes love my blood. I'm always getting attacked by mosquitoes. So that definitely happened. But outside of that, you know, I just wanted to talk about, like, the things I did while I was in Ghana. So we went to Afrochella, and it was such a vibe. They're actually changing the name of Afrochella to Afro Future because I think they're getting a lawsuit from Coachella in regards to that. I'm not too sure, and I haven't read up on it, so don't quote me, but rumor has it that's what's happening. So they're changing the name to Afro Future. But nonetheless, the festival was super, super dope. So we sat in VVIP, not VIP, but VVIP. And let me tell you, I can't tell you what the difference is because everybody and their mother was in that section. Like, it doesn't look like it was anybody special getting any type of special treatment. And across the board in Ghana, when it comes to like hospitality, it's not like how it is in America. Like, they could definitely use a crash course from Chick-fil-A on how to greet people and treat people and give you like customer A1 service. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, despite the service, Ghana was really, really dope. The people are friendly. I would say, like, it felt really safe. Like, at the festival, you know, I didn't feel paranoid for somebody to like pull out a gun. Like, you don't even see stuff like that over there. Even like the police officers, I mean, I might have seen a few of them with guns and security with like tasers more than anything. Yeah, so that was a vibe. Afrochella was absolutely a vibe. What else did we do? Oh my God, we went to the point of no return, where like the slaves, well, it was two things. It was like the Slave River, I believe it was called, which is the last river where our ancestors who were shipped off to the quote unquote New World took their last bath in a river. And then from the river, they had to walk 40 miles to the castle where they were stored a lot of them died. I mean, they were packed like sardines in these tunnels and these caves. And they showed us like how like they put like little dents in the ground that went all around the room and to the outside, pretty much where they can shit and where they can poop. And like, I can't imagine like being in those tunnels. It just felt really, really heavy because it's like we were only like a group of, I want to say 10, and just the 10 of us, it felt, you know, hot and like too much. So imagine, you know, they had us in there by the thousands and then shipping us off. So it was just, it was a really, really sad but dope experience at the same time. Sad but dope experience for sure. I'm super glad I went, super glad I got to see that and feel that and experience that. And honestly, it's really cool to see how much we have grown as people, like as African Americans, as Black people, you know what I mean? Like for them to accept us with open arms. Cause honestly, to be completely, completely honest, not like I want to go down this rabbit hole today cause it's 2023 and I'm trying to just keep the vibes high. But it's like, yo, when I first went to St. John's, like when I first moved to New York from Maryland, like my father was in the army. So I'm used to diversity, you know, I'm used to being around different types of, ethnicities. But when I moved to New York, that was the first time in my life where Black people were telling me like, nah, you know, like where they actually looked down on me for being Black, like Africans were looking down on me for being Black, or like, you know, other, you know, Jamaicans were like, oh no, that's some Black shit. And it's like, wait, what? This, like, and I don't know, maybe I'm just in my own bubble. I had African friends where I grew up in Maryland, and I never looked at them any lesser anymore. So when I moved to New York, I really got to experience the different cultures in a real way and see how they felt about us and try their food. And like, I really learned a lot moving to New York. I understand why New York City is the city that it is, because it really is home to everybody. You know what I mean? And I remember in college, like I used to be like, man, so in my friend group, there's one African, one Jamaican, one Puerto Rican and Black, one Italian, and then two African Americans. Okay. So we all kind of like the same things, but there's a few things that I just really had a hard time getting used to. And that was Afrobeats. Like they loved going to like these Jamaican parties somewhere in Southside Jamaica that we shouldn't have been. And, you know, dancing all night wildly to Afrobeats. And I used to just be sitting down like, bro, can we go home? Like, are they going to play some Snoop Dogg? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just overly American. You know what I mean? But, so it's so funny. Here we are, fast forward later. I go to Ghana. I'm at Afrochella and I'm falling in love with number one, Ampiano. Afrobeats had already grown on me a few years back, but not the way that I am in awe of it now. And I think seeing it live, going to the club, we went to the strip club, we went to a few lounges, like after experiencing it live, it's like, wow, this is beautiful. This is get it. And it just makes you feel good. It just makes you want to dance. So you know what? Right now I want to get into one of my favorite songs that I kept hearing when I was over there. It's by an artist named Misaki. The song is called Organize.
Emi yato sa hon ko kamisoto, kamisoto, ojo bojo bo, Loco, 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 tu pa' poco. Si tu nace con tu club, tu tono. Everybody ready for me, tu poco. Bad bitch, I want you call the push. I no go let anyone control. Anything I want to, I go do. Bad bitch, I want you call the push. I no go let anyone control. Anything I want to, I go do.
Yeah, all right. So that was organized by an artist named Asaki. And, you know, he actually, I've been doing like some research on him and like listening to other songs outside of that project. He has a lot of bangers. It looks like to me he's like, he's the guy you want to get a feature from if you want your song to go up, because he just bodies. So, but that's organized off of his album, Mr. Money with the Vibe. So that is Asaki. And I actually, because he's speaking Yoruba on there, and I obviously don't understand Yoruba, so I had to look it up. Like, what is he actually saying on there? Because it sounds like it's like a revolutionary record, you know. But I looked it up, and pretty much he's saying like, I'm smart. I'm actually really smart, and I'm tactical, and I do everything with intention. I organize. So that's why it's called organized. So you know what? That is the vibe for 2023. We are organized. We're doing everything with intention. And 2023 here on We Need to Talk. And also, you know, speaking of, I changed the format up a little bit. I'm doing a little more talking before I get into the interviews, but I want to know what you guys want to hear from me. What is it that you guys want me to talk about more? Let me know. Drop a comment, whether it's on YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Music, wherever you listen to me at. Let me know what you guys want me to talk about. Who are some people that you guys would want me to bring on? I'm definitely trying to get outside of just music artists and tap into, you know, people of my other interests like art. I have some pretty cool people already lined up for you guys. But, you know, I definitely want to hear from you guys. Who would you guys like to hear on We Need to Talk? And I'm going to get you guys covered with that. Let me see if there's... Oh, you know, another thing I want to talk about with my experience to Ghana is the infrastructure. You know, my mom actually had hit me and was like, hey, you know, how is it over there? Because judging by your videos, it doesn't look like it's a really developed country. And I'm like, you know, I can see why you would say that. And it's not that it's not a developed country. It's definitely developed. Like where I stayed at, very modern, very nice. A lot of the restaurants I ate at, very modern and very nice. But, you know, they still do have, I guess, you know, huts and stuff like that. But I will say that they don't have like a city, like they don't have like architecture the way like New York City does or LA does or Tokyo does. Like they don't have that. And I'm sure it's probably on the way for them because Ghana looks like it's growing and fast. And honestly, I was surprised as to how many people, I actually knew out there. Like I have two friends, one person I actually went to high school with, shout out to Bima, ran into Bima out there. I haven't seen her in probably over 10 years. Maybe it's probably been like, what, I graduated 2013. Woof. Yeah, I'm getting old, man. Though it's been 10, 11 years because she's older than me. It's been 11 years since I seen Bima. Then also, I seen somebody I went to college with who was an RA out there. And it was just so funny because they're looking at me and I'm looking at them like, hey, I think, yeah, we know each other. Oh, my God, it's been so long. So it's really cool just to see how diverse we are, how we're all over the planet, man. Ghana trip was just awesome. It was priceless. It was the best way I could bring in my new year. Oh, also, I have to shout out, man. So on actual New Year's Eve, we left Accra, Ghana. That's where we're staying. We left there and we ended up going to Treasure Island, which is like this private island. Imagine like 2 hours away from the city. So imagine Coney Island, but on an actual island. Like, we had to, like, drive there, and then we had to take a ferry over to the island. But when we got there, it was absolutely stunning. I mean, like, you know, it's all lit up. They had, like, this huge long table, like it was the Last Supper, and it's a bunch of, you know, influencers, artists, you know, political activists, you know, just a lot of really dope people in the building, really dope black people in the building. And we feast, you know, we ate like kings and queens out of these really nice cups, and the food was amazing, and it was just a really dope experience. There was fireworks. And I can't make this up. This has to be one of the best vacations I've ever been on. And I've been to a lot of places. Like, I've been to over 15 different countries. And I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Ghana, I have to say. So yeah, New Year's Eve was definitely a vibe. I do want to get into one more song that I actually ended up falling in love with on New Year's Eve. It was super, super turnt. This one got a lot of people going, I realized, but it's called Mona Lisa by Lo-J and SARS.
Baby, follow my command like zombie. Go down on me, yo, with your coca body. Follow my command like zombie. Go down on me, yo, with your coca body. Cause this your miliki for front enough for me. Pull on for me, I no go do me corny. And if your miliki na fighty, I saw me to look. Baby, kona kona, waka waka when you enter my licha. Baby, kona kona, will you give me sugar? Wala wala. Macho Mona Lisa, 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 macho Mona Lisa. Macho Mona Lisa, macho Mona Lisa. Girl, I'll be foolish if I don't let you indulge me. Your lips like poison, I take my chance with you.
Lo-J and SARS with Mona Lisa. I think I'm in my Afrobeats era, you know. Last year I was heavy in a funk era. I listened to mad funk, like Funkadelic, The Parliament, whatever, whatever. But now it's giving in piano type of year, okay? We are on that type of time, and I'm really here for it. If you guys have any music suggestions, playlist suggestions I should check out, you know, to help me on my journey falling in love with this genre, please send my way. I'm here for it. I'm here for all the suggestions. And there was one last thing I actually want to talk about with you guys in regards to my trip to Africa, which was besides falling in love with the music, the people, the food, just a few fun things to learn. One, I had a cigar for the first time. I felt like Jay-Z on Big Pimpin'. It was such a fucking vibe. That was also while I was on Treasure Island. Also ran into Boz and Olu out there. My guys, super happy to see them. And it was just a cool way to bring in the new year. But outside of that, I also learned, so in Ghana, they use the word chale, which means like friend. So like, what's up, chale? You know, it's like, I guess the American version would be like, what up, B? Or what up, God, if you in New York? Or, you know, it just means friend. So chale, what's up, chale? I don't know. I like that. Just thought I'd share that with you guys. But that's enough of that. And I want to get into a super dupe band, as I was telling you guys about earlier, called Cruiser. They're called Cruiser Filled on Instagram. Before we get into the interview, I just want to play a new joint by them for you guys to check out. It's called Fantasy. Simone here with a very special guest in another episode of We Need to Talk. Now, I just did Afropunk's live stream, and I think I met my new favorite band all the way from California. We have Cruiser in the building.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
How are you guys?
Doing good, we're doing good. How about you? Yeah.
You guys are so calm now, but this was not the energy I saw on stage.
turn it on.
Yeah. Okay, turn on, turn off. So for those who aren't familiar with you guys, who are you one by one? Like, what's your name? Where are you guys from? And then tell me how you guys all got together.
Okay, I'll start. My name is AJ. I'm from, I guess, I grew up in Alabama. That's where I met Adam. We were like in middle. I met him because he moved to Alabama for Hurricane Katrina. We met in like middle school.
Oh, wow.
And so we've known each other for like a long time. Yeah, I'll just let everybody say their own.
Yeah, my name is Adam. I'm the vocalist. I'm also from Alabama, too. That's where we initially met after my family moved there from New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm Charity. I'm from San Diego. And I met them on Instagram like 2, maybe 3 years ago now.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
just IG friends and then got together.
Yeah.
Me and her making music together. And yeah, we made like a pretty cool project. And it was just very easy to make music with her. And so,
dope.
We just asked her if she wanted to be in the band. And from there, like, we, I think she came out and stayed with us for like, like 2 months.
Yeah, like 2 months over
and
the
we
summer.
We were just making music and then went on tour, and then now we live together in California.
Awesome. Yeah. You weren't nervous about going out there to record the music?
I was super scared. I didn't really tell anyone. I didn't tell any of like my family or anything because I didn't want them to
overreact.
Yeah, exactly. So I just went, and then shit ended up being real cool. Like the first day we linked up, we shot a music video. And that was my first time really meeting Adam, because mainly it had just been me and AJ working together. So then it was just cool. Everything worked out and it's like developed and kind of snowballed into what it is now. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
Good vibes off of it. And so you're originally from New Orleans.
Yeah.
So when did you move? At what age did you move to Alabama?
Man, I was like 11. 2005. Wow. Whenever, when Hurricane Katrina hit, we upped and moved there. And it was a major culture shock going from New Orleans to Alabama.
Now, question, this might be personal, but did you guys stay in the city or did you guys leave?
Nah, we left probably like 3 days before it hit.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because you know with hurricanes, you get like hella time to like dip or whatever. So luckily we got out of there, but I know some people that weren't able to leave, though.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, there's a new documentary on it. I think it's on HBO, The Katrina Babies. Have you seen it?
Nah.
It's just showing just like the after effects, but
it actually sounds pretty dope.
Is it
HBO?
It's on HBO, but like those who like grew up in New Orleans and experienced that, like my heart will forever go out to you guys, because that's like
that.
It's like surviving the apocalypse, honestly, like the pandemic, but on a just more regional level.
Facts. When we went back maybe like a month or two later, once the city opened up again, like, the closer you got, you just see dead trees everywhere, and it just smelled crazy. Like, it literally looked like the fucking zombie apocalypse or some shit. So
yeah.
It was crazy.
But, okay, so being that you've traveled around a lot, but now you're in L.A. now.
Yeah.
So you went from the country to now palm trees and...
Yeah, I was born in California, though.
Oh, okay.
And then I lived in New Jersey, and then I lived in Orlando. We actually really lived in Orlando. So, like...
Got it.
We're... in Orlando, but we moved to LA like maybe like what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, 2 months ago.
Yeah, so we've actually been living in Orlando for maybe the last what, 4 or 5 years.
Okay, what made you want to do that jump? I feel like Orlando's still got the palm trees and it's cheaper.
Yeah,
maybe less crazier.
Yeah. Like, what made us want to do the jump from Orlando to LA? Just being closer to stuff.
Yeah, to you know, you're doing music, man. There's a lot of different things in LA that's gonna help you do music. We know we're working on like our first like official album out there and stuff like that, and she actually lived in San Diego, which is like 2 hours from LA, and so it was kind of more of like a central, instead of her always coming to our
yeah.
You know, so we're gonna go to her, you know.
I love that,
you know. Yeah. So yeah,
respect. As you guys should, as they should. So okay, so you guys are working on an album. The last project you guys put out was in 2021, right? Or December 2021.
Yeah.
So right before the cusp of the year. How did that collective come together?
So pretty much, man, it's funny how we do music, because Charity was living in, you know, San Diego, me and Adam were in Orlando. We kind of have like a like an assembly line type of thing we were doing where we would, I'd make the beat. The bass and the drums is kind of my thing or whatever. Send the beat to either Adam or Charity, whoever comes up with something first, you know, they'll send it back to me. Charity will play some guitar on it. Adam may sing some words, or sometimes I'll just play it out loud and Adam will just freestyle something, you know what I mean? And then they send it back to me. I'll like mix it together, chop up different things. And then that's just kind of how we made the songs for that specific project. You know, we called it Dog Days because it was kind of like we're really trying to do music, you know, but things are kind of moving a little slowly, you know what I mean? So that's how we kind of came up with the name. And it was just more so kind of like representing like a time of like, you know, trying to like struggling to do something
to figure it out.
Yeah, that you really want to do, but it's not easy, you know what I mean? So that's how we came up with the name.
So let's talk more about the struggle, okay? Because after seeing your performance, I already know it's going to be out of here for you guys in no time. It's just a matter of time. So just like the backstory and the grind, what were you guys doing before committing fully to the music?
What were we not doing?
Not what were we not doing?
Man, no, I've had a million so jobs.
Hey, all right, we got Jamaican there. Yeah.
He actually is Jamaican.
Boy, yeah, my dad's Jamaican.
Oh, wow, okay.
My mom's Chinese.
No, that's not an insult, by the way.
Oh, no.
Okay.
But yeah, no, like, man, me and this dude worked at a factory together. Yeah. Fucking manufacturing tents for the military.
Yeah, worked
at Target. Oh, wow.
Worked at Target, Jason's Deli.
Worked at like a maintenance man, like a
At our college, like did all types of shit.
You know, I was an Uber driver for a long time. I was a dishwasher.
Were you playing your music in the car, like trying to test the water?
Actually, low happened. Key. It happened twice. So where I wouldn't play, but like it came up like on the shuffle. Mm-hmm. I remember this one guy was like, "Yeah, what's this?" or whatever, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't even act. I didn't let him know it was me. I was just like, this is a band called Cruise." He's like, "Oh yeah, that's fire, bro." And I was like, "Oh, that's crazy." But no, I didn't usually do that. Usually. When I would be Uber driving, because I don't really want people to talk to me, I just have my headphones in.
Oh, you're my favorite kind of Uber driver.
Right? Yo, like, just that's the mainly, but I would be listening to music while I was driving. But yeah, dishwasher. I mean, I was worked at a bar for a long time, just different type of jobs, man.
Sleeping on the floor, sharing a room.
Yeah, so
no.
Originally, he didn't live in Orlando, but when he graduated, I was like, bro, we gotta do this music. Like, because I was living in Orlando, so I was like, yo, you gotta come out here. So, like, when he graduated, he came out, you know what I mean? And I just had, like, a room. And so he was sleeping on the floor in my room. And then we got another apartment, but we got the apartment. We got the room together. We're like, okay, so we both going to
share a room for, like, 2 years.
Yeah. So, and then we were just, just making music. And then when we got another apartment, you know, we finally each had our own room. And then that's when Charity came out. And
you were like this. This is how y'all living? Yeah. I'm going to get the hotel up the street. But
we had the futon.
We hooked her up in the living room.
Okay, all right.
We had the futon in the thing, and she was on the futon in the living room. You know,
all right,
like,
nice.
She had her own little area, too. Yeah. Like,
and that was, like, really when, like, the magic happened because, like he was saying, we did, like, assembly line music before where he's sending it to me or her, and then it's coming back around. Yeah. So when we're able to be in the same space, like,
so that's,
it was just love and super
easy. What actually would happen was, you know, we never played music together, really. So, like, we'd be sitting down, you know, I'd turn on, like, some drums that I made, and then Charity would start playing, like, some guitar, and then I'd just start playing some, you know, just some bass or whatever, and then he would just start freestyling. And when we were doing that, I guess maybe because we were doing it the hard way for such a long time.
It just was so
easy. Yeah, we was doing that, it was just so simple.
That's
like,
what's up.
And we just started making, like, songs. Like, like, I'm going to be honest, like, those songs that we played for our set yesterday, we, you know, we had some older songs, but, like, yeah, we need new heat. We got to play new stuff for Afropunk. And so we made those songs in, like, 2 days.
Oh, wow.
48-hour project.
Yeah, we just, like, we need all new songs. And so we just made just a bunch of songs.
So how long did it take to record Dog Days? Or is that just, like, a compilation of records you guys?
Compilation,
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff we had different versions. Been working on stuff. Dog Days, it was a compilation. It didn't even take long, honestly. Like, we did something with, like, this label in London. They kind of, you know, found us. And they're like, yeah, we want to drop, like, a one-album thing or whatever. And so... we had just been working on some demos that we kind of, and then they, you know, we'd send it to them, and the ones that they liked, they're like, okay, yeah, make this album. And that's kind of how Dog Days came about.
That's dope. Yeah. So, Adam, was this always your dream, like, growing up as a kid? Like, were you always writing? Like, he keeps saying you're freestyle, and I'm like, wait, so is everything a freestyle?
Most of it is like, okay, so the way I make music is he'll play a beat, and, like, I'll freestyle at first and get the melody down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll kind of revisit it. Sometimes I don't have to because sometimes the freestyle really be like that and I can kind of rock with it.
Mm-hmm.
But most times I go back and I'm like, all right, let me touch it up here. But I started like making music and like writing and shit probably in fourth grade. It's actually a funny story. There was this girl that I really liked in my class and she ended up having to go to a new school. And so I was on some like, I don't know, I got sad. I don't know what I was on. Just young. I don't tripping. And then I just kind of wrote this song about how I was feeling. And like from there... it just kind of just happened and just continued to happen. And
so, I love that story.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody about the other day because I was asking this question. I had low-key forgotten about that, but that was really where it started for me in fourth grade.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how we know it's coming from the heart.
It is coming from the heart.
You've been writing songs since fourth grade.
Low key, yeah.
That's mad dope. I'm sure whoever that girl is, she's probably mad honored.
Hey, yeah. I hope so. She was special.
So, Charity, how long have you been playing instruments? And do you play anything else besides?
Yeah, I play bass and you know, I produce too. Like, me and AJ kind of got real cool because we both kind of like that side of the music too.
What do you guys use? We lose Pro Tools.
I use FL. She uses Ableton.
And my God. Yo, shout out to you. Ableton looks complicated.
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve with it. But I started playing guitar like maybe 13 years ago. I was at a music store and I met like this older black lady. And she just offered me lessons. And so I started doing lessons with her. And then
for free?
Yeah, at first for free. Like,
oh, wow.
She just wanted to teach me. And so it was really cool to just have someone want to invest time. And so I kind of took it seriously with that in mind, and then it just kind of kept growing and growing and growing, and now it's all like I want to do. So, and I actually get to do it. So,
yeah,
it's just crazy.
And that's mad fly. See, yeah. That's why it's important to pour into people.
Yeah,
because now she just sparked that, and now you're about to have a whole career off that.
Seriously.
I love that. All right, and then you've been playing instruments for a long time as well.
Well, okay, so I actually, this is going to be funny. I just was producing music. I was in college for, like, computer science or something.
What school did you guys go to?
We went to the school called Oakwood, but then I transferred to a school called Southern in Tennessee. It's, like, a small school.
Yeah.
But anyway, I ended up, like, I was just so into music, and I was putting it out, and people liked it. I just started thinking I could do music, you know what I mean? And then, I was just producing. I didn't actually, wasn't really playing instruments. I'll be real, like, this is exclusive. Like, we're going to go on tour, right? And, like, I could play bass, like, produce, but I couldn't really play, like, perform. Mm. And so, you know, we got, like, a touring opportunity. And really, she kind of, like, taught me how to play bass. For, like, the shows. So, like, I'm still kind of, like, new at playing bass, but, like, you know, she, like, knows how to play, so she kind of just, like, showed me how to play.
I love that. Yeah. I'm glad you're even willing to learn, you know. I feel like the instruments make the music just hit harder.
Yeah, I mean, no, it is. Now we can sit down, you know, like I said, man, we can just sit down and just make music, and it's so crazy. And, yeah, I think most people, you know, I've tried to make music with a lot of people, but... Yeah, just the way it kind of works with the three of us, you know. I don't think I can really do it with anybody else.
Wait, so you have been in other bands prior?
Just
collabs.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, I produce for other people. Gotcha. You know what I mean? But it isn't really. I always say, man, like, I'm not a producer really. Like, I'm more of an artist. Like, yeah, I make beats, but it's like, I'm not really a producer. Like,
I totally get it.
Because I can't just make beats and just send them out and just do, like, I actually have to, like, feel, like, interested in what I'm doing with the music. And so when I do stuff with them, I feel like it's, you know, my stuff is going to, like, good use.
Yeah. Right? It's aligned. Yeah. It's like Pharrell. Yeah, Pharrell's a producer, but Pharrell's really an artist.
He's an artist. Exactly.
Yeah, he's
creative,
like,
genius.
Pharrell's the main, like, influence, honestly, when it comes to my production. I'd say Pharrell and maybe, this guy's name is Jay Paul. I don't know if you know this, but he's, those two are, like, the biggest influences when it comes to, like, how I produce my music, you know, so, yeah.
How about for you guys? Who would you say are your, like, inspos with the art?
I would definitely say Jay Paul, like what he said, the Gorillaz.
Gorillaz, another one.
Tame Impala.
You see they're about to go on tour, too.
Yeah, with Earth Gang and
So Gorillaz is my favorite music artist of all time.
And, fire. Yeah.
And then, like, for me growing up, my parents were always playing, like, Whitney Houston, Stevie Wonder, Luther Vandross, like, classic shit like that. So that kind of got me, like, those are kind of, like, my roots in, like, church shit, like, gospel music and stuff. So.
Got it.
Yeah, big on the gospel music. Big on Neo Soul. Personally, it's, like, interesting. I think we all have very different dominant influences.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's neo-soul. I know Adam really loves R&B. I know AJ really loves, like, alternative indie music. Mm. So we kind of blend. What did you say?
No, my parents are deep into reggae, too.
Oh, yeah, and reggae, too. So we, like, blend all these different influences and kind of...
That's super fly.
Yeah, make, like, a different genre.
Good little jumbo. So, gumbo, I mean. So what neo-soul artist inspired you the most growing up?
Erykah Badu, for sure.
Of course, yes.
D'Angelo. Corinne Bailey Ray isn't, like, quite neo-soul, but, like,
you know,
she inspires me a lot. Indie Irie. Shoot the Roots.
Yes.
And it goes on. And they actually played at Afropunk the day before.
No, the Roots went crazy. I was like just impressed by how they were able to go for 2 hours straight, no water breaks.
Damn, you know
how
like two people hours. Do. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. No intermissions. I was like, nah, this is nuts. And you know, to be like elder, like they're OGs in this, so yeah, it's like, yo, yeah, for them to go like that, like they're like 20, is very impressive.
Yeah.
But what was I gonna say? I like that you guys are all like very different and then bring it together. How would you say, like, is there any clashings, I guess, with the vision, like working as a group?
I'll say this, right? I feel like everybody has their
like role. Niche.
I think for me, you know, I know this. Like, I get real abstract with, like, the music sometimes.
Okay. They're like, yeah.
He does, yeah.
They kind of bring it back, you know.
You're the Andre and they're the big boy? Like, yeah. All right, calm down.
they make it digestible for people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because
he's really into real alternative shit.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it's like sometimes you got to be balanced out a little
bit. Yeah, definitely, you know, I think Adam kind of makes it more... Yeah, digestible to just like a general public, you know what I mean? I think Charity puts like the sweet, you know what I'm saying? Like
that's the femme like, touch.
The tone on the guitar, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's perfect, honestly. I think that's why people can be like, oh, this sounds different. Yeah. But at the same time, we can still like it, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's still digestible, so.
Yeah, you said, oh, you're so alternative, they bring you back to life. I was having this conversation, I want to say last week, and I was like, man, there's so many like really great artists out there, but they just lack direction because sometimes you just get like stuck in your head, like, you know, I want it this way. So that's why I'm asking, like, how do you guys each, you know, I guess get your vision across together? And how did you guys come up with the name, actually?
So it's funny, me and him had like a song. We just, before we even had a name, I just was making beats. I would just have him sing on the song, and I think one of the songs was called like Coast Cruiser, like driving down like a coast, like in a car.
Before you guys got together, y'all going by individual stage names?
Yeah.
Or just your real name?
Just trying to figure it out. It wasn't even anything official.
Just on SoundCloud. Yeah. And one of the songs was called Coast Cruiser, and then we just said Cruiser. We looked at that, it was like cross. That's what Cruiser means in Spanish. It means cross. And so we're just like, that's tight. Like we didn't even
think about it. It looked cool as shit.
Yeah, we didn't even think about it.
Were y'all high?
You know what's funny? People be very surprised. He definitely doesn't smoke. I really don't even smoke either. We kind of make a lot of our music soberly.
Of course, when I first started making music, I was smoking heavily. That's why maybe it sounds like
he's like permanently high.
But I haven't smoked in like a year. Like really just, you know, I'm not an active smoker.
Like casual, if it's
I'm not an active. Not when I smoke, smoking. I like get like.
It slows you.
Yeah, so I'm a person. I want to be active. I want to accomplish things. So that's why I had to stop, really.
Right. So that was intentional.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, but yeah, like, me and him are so similar. And I think just because our upbringings in Charity just happens to have a similar upbringing to us as well.
Really?
So, like, and so, like, when it comes to, like,
wait, are you guys all raised in the church?
Yeah. Fire. So, like, when it comes to us having, like, overall just direction and vision, like me and him may bump heads sometimes on like certain details because we can be so similar but different, but like we trust each other, so like when one person's like, yo, maybe we should kind of pull back on that, maybe we shouldn't do exactly that, like it's not no hard feelings about it, and we're able to just kind of talk it out and just kind of agree and meet in like a middle space or whatever.
Fire.
I think we've been doing this and we've seen, you know, I guess all of us have kind of seen that it's working, so it's like I can specifically think of a time where, okay, yo, Adam said maybe we shouldn't do that. And then when we didn't do it, it worked. You know what I mean? And then I can specifically think of a time where Charity's like, oh, we probably should do this.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that means we've kind of all just grown to trust each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and then critique. It working helps build the trust.
Yeah. There's some validity to this.
Yeah.
The critique is all valid. And we don't take... You know, some people might take criticism personally. We don't take it personally. We're just trying to make this thing work.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not even about, oh, I want to do it my way, or I want to do it the way that it works.
Yeah, no ego really involved, man. We just trust each other.
Fire. I love that. So, Charity, as the girl, and you grew up in the church, is your family, like, worried, sick?
Yeah, for sure. but I think they're seeing that things are actually, you know, happening in reality. Like, it's not just some elusive, like, idea. You know, these aren't just, like, random people. Especially at this point. Like, we've all been together for, like, 3 years now.
Nice.
So, yeah, they'd be a little bit worried. I'm the oldest and I'm the only girl, too. So, oh, wow. It's, like, many factors, but...
Our parents have talked,
though. Our parents have talked. I remember...
This is funny as hell.
I got COVID.
We all got COVID together.
Yeah, we all got COVID last summer.
Yeah, and we were just trapped in the house.
Yeah, and my mom called and she was like, put them on the phone. And she was like, I want her to return the way that she came.
Respect.
They're just like, yes, ma'am.
Respect, yeah, respect.
You can talk to my mom. You
so, I love that.
It was funny, but...
And, like, okay, so as the woman, are you ever like, you know what, I need to be around other women right now because I'm sick of y'all. Sick. You know what I mean?
Nah, I feel like there's, like, good balance. I mean.
Okay. Not that we don't love y'all. This is no shame.
I feel like I've learned a lot.
Word.
Yeah. I've learned a lot just being around them and, you know.
Do they make you scared to date?
These are good questions.
I don't know. They know the answer.
Oh my gosh! All right, so I know the answer.
You just be telling her the real. That's it. Yeah. Just telling her the real. You know,
really, it's the real side of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't want to hear it. Sometimes I want to make my own decisions.
Sometimes I want to dream. You know. Yeah.
Like, you gotta live. Yeah. You gotta let her live. But you guys are doing your job, so let me not complain. All right, cool. So how is the dating life? How's the dating life for all of you?
You just be chilling, bro.
We be chilling. Yeah, we chilling for now. Taking it slow.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like too many things going on. Like, you know, we're working on a career and stuff. Too.
Got it.
Yeah.
And, like, L.A. is super hectic.
Yo, I be seeing the dating in L.A. LA tweets, and I'm like, damn, I'm so glad I'm not in LA. It'd be looking like a nightmare. It's definitely different.
Yeah, he knows more about that than I do, but yeah, it's different.
Say, I don't. Yeah. No, don't be shy now. Okay, so, Dog Days, you guys were like in grind mode.
Yeah.
Right now, you guys are in album mode. What is the reflection? Like, what is the music going to reflect? Like, what's the current state?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to remember this one.
It's weird. We're having so many new experiences right now.
Yeah.
But we're also in such a place of, like, confidence right now, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know.
I think it's going to just I wanted to reflect something different, man. I think, you know, with music, I hate to say this, man, but it's like, I feel like, you know, music in itself in this point is when it comes to at least, yeah, just music in general. We want to do something different. You know what I mean? We want to put something that people haven't heard before and give them the experience they haven't experienced, you know?
Were you going to say hip-hop but was afraid to say hip-hop?
No, we're not hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I was just saying music in general. And
It looked like you didn't want to say music in general. I want to know what was the word.
I don't want people to feel like, oh, we're saying, oh, your music, you know, I'm not saying that. But, because I don't limit myself to just hip-hop because I really listen to all types, like, you know. You know, of course, a group, you know, hip-hop is a foundation, but just music in general, you know, we want to bring something different, fresh and captivating. We want people to be just enthralled and like, oh shoot, I've never seen anything like this. Uh-huh. So that's our main goal, is to just do something that people haven't seen before and give them an experience that they haven't experienced before. And so we're, you know, really trying to sit down and figure out step by step how to do that. And not just, you know, some people say, oh, we really actually want to do it though. Like, we're very detail oriented, from just like the fonts that we use on things to like the filter that we put on a picture, you know,
texture, detail.
And so, we want to just present something, new and interesting, for people, you know, because we feel like it's been a little minute since, you know, something new and interesting has come out, you know, at least to me, you know, so.
Yeah. Same. You guys all feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just trying to do something unique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something that the world hasn't experienced in a bit. You
in
know
a
what
long
mean?
Time.
Yeah.
So there's no... So there's no, like, concise theme for where you guys are going with this album yet.
We do kind of have a theme. You know, we're still... We don't want to say what it is, and then, okay. you know...
Next and then I hear it, and then it's like...
we have a drawing board where, you okay. know, where we have a theme, and we have, you know, a couple different ideas and directions that we want to yeah. go, but... We're not, we haven't even, I'm going to be honest, we haven't really started because we've been working on Afropunk. We haven't actually officially started working
like
on
it. Putting it all together.
Yeah, putting it together. So yeah. we don't know what shape it's going to take. You know, it could take a different
time. And that's the thing, too. With us being more confident in us flowing and working so well, we don't even have to overthink it. Like, mm-hmm. we have to actually stop ourselves from making new music.
yeah.
We would have never been prepared for this set if we didn't say, yo. Because, like, yeah. Charity would be sitting there displaying some shit, and I'm like, bruh, hold on.
Don't tip me. Don't yeah. tip me. Yeah.
This dude always want to turn on a new drum beat, so yeah. it's just like, man, like. So, yeah, we know when we do actually sit down, it's just going to start coming out. Yeah. So it's hard to say exactly, like how with Dog Days, that was, like, the struggle period. We were really right. frustrated. Now it's hard to say we're in a specific, like, mood like that, but it's just going to be about making something new and fresh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited to hear it. So did you guys all move to L.A. during pandemic?
No, we just moved to LA.
Oh, like, you literally
ago.
Just got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like
oh,
two
wow.
and a half months, 2 months ago. Yeah.
Okay, nice. I was going to say, I know a lot of people was making that pandemic transition.
Yeah, a lot of the homies we know, like a couple people in the industry, they moved there around then. Yeah. yeah. Which I think is like, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's such a weird time to go.
It was so shut down there. And yeah. I know it was here too, so yeah. it's interesting.
Oh, yeah, it was a terrible time, but... How did you guys, a lot of people say, you know, the pandemic was the best thing that ever happened to me, despite, of course, you know, all the lives that were lost, but how did the pandemic play out for you guys?
That's a good question. So for me, I know I was doing a lot of different things, you know, distracted, you know, you want to do music, but you're not actually sitting down and putting in the work. You know, I think when the pandemic hit, I was forced to just sit inside the house and actually just work on music, you know what I mean? You know, all the other distractions were kind of eliminated. And it's like, okay, you can only watch so much TV. You know?
like so many said, video
yeah,
games.
Yeah, let me actually start accomplishing something. So that's when me and her, we made our little project together.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And it was like, I was just so proud of it, you know. And then I said, man, I got to just start doing more. So, you know, I got some other bros, you know, who I made some stuff with. And then me and him started working on some stuff. And then I was just like, yo, y'all, this is all
working together. Stuff.
And that's what was crazy about it. You came to shoot yeah. the video. Her first time coming was in the midst of COVID.
Yeah.
Her first time being really on that side of the country.
That's why your mother was worried. Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
She around dudes that she met from the internet. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I know that had to have been kind of scary for her. Yeah. And it was a super hectic weekend, too. Like, we did like, two videos exactly. in, like, 3 days. We didn't even really know what we was doing. We was just trying, you know what I mean?
Videos, yeah.
Man, but that's the beauty in it.
It is. It was so raw, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like you said, though.
Yeah. As soon as she got off the plane, we were like, okay, like. Gotta go to this video.
Yeah, we got food for you, but yo, we gotta go shoot the video, man.
You hungry? Eat that on the go.
it was on go time, but it definitely did give us time. 2020 just slowed everything down.
Yeah.
And it allowed us to get more serious. It's just been up since then.
I love it. Well, you guys had an amazing set at Afropunk. I'm ready for a tour whenever y'all ready for the tour.
Yo.
So make sure y'all let me know.
Hell yeah.
What do you guys have in store for 2023 or Q4?
Just
music
new stuff, man. New experience,
you know.
We just want to give a new experience, man. We're so passionate about just doing something new.
I definitely want some merch from you guys too.
Oh yeah,
like I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, we're gonna turn up on the merch.
Okay,
we got a lot of homies who are like really into like you know fashion and just making clothes and stuff like that. So when it comes, we wanted the merch to be like you know a big part of what we do.
Yeah.
So that's why we haven't even put out any merch because we don't want to halfway do it, you know?
Nah. And you guys are all like fly with their different styles. So I want to see what that looks like in fashion.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So new music, hopefully tour.
Yeah.
Potentially at the beginning of the year, we'll be opening for some artists.
Nice.
And just new stuff, videos, just turn it up.
I'm excited. I'll be tapping in. Charity, I'm going to check on you during the tour because. Yo, through and through, I'm like, yo, how are you doing this? But shout out your Instagram. For those who aren't following you, can follow you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Cruzified, C-R-U-Z-A-F-I-E-D.
Now, you know we got to get into the joint that you guys have on Smino's project called Luphoria, man. Oh, I love this. Let's get into it.
Focus, call my girl like bust it open, I'm outside your home. He said this discussion smoking got me thinking, thought provoking, goes on to my love. Nice, I can't focus, call my girl like bust it open, I'm outside your home. He said this discussion smoking got me thinking.
Already tapped in with Cruza, you definitely should. One of my favorite groups, one of my favorite bands, I should say, coming out. And the project that got me hip to them is called Dog Days. So just tap in if you haven't. All right, now, if you guys are a fan of We Need to Talk, Nyla, We Need to Talk, and you like what you are hearing, please like, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Of course, I got more new episodes on the way, more super dope guests. Putting you guys on to what's popping in my world and what's popping in the culture, what's happening as far as music goes. And yeah, please like, share, subscribe, as I said before. And again, I mentioned this earlier, if you guys have anybody y'all would like me to bring on, if there's any topics you guys would like me to further discuss or, you know, elaborate more on, or if you prefer just the interviews and less of me talking, let me know. Okay, I'm here for you guys. Until next time, guys, peace. Thank you.